Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to the Gospel according to Luke, Luke chapter 8. We're going to begin in verse 16 and read down through verse 21. Luke 8, 16 through 21. This is God's Word. "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him." Now, Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because of the crowd. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." He replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. This passage comes right on the heels of the story of the parable of the sower, where Jesus said that a sower went out to sow, and some of the seed fell on the path or very hard ground, and it didn't penetrate at all. Birds came and carried it away. And then he tells about the rocky soil where there might be a quick response, but it doesn't last because it doesn't have root. And then he talks about the soil where there were other plants competing with the good plant. And as a result, there was not a harvest. There was not fruitfulness. And he talked about the good soil. And we asked the question, which soil will you be? Well, the main point in these verses today is what Jesus said. Consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how you listen. My wife and I over the years have had opportunity to do a lot of marriage conferences and marriage retreats and that sort of thing. And that has been an outgrowth of many, many years of pastoral counseling, trying to talk with people about how to have a better marriage that honors the Lord. One of the main subjects is communication. And in the midst of dealing with people about communication, one of the main complaints, generally voiced by women, lodged as a complaint against their husband is, "He never listens. He doesn't listen to what I say." And there are dynamics involved. Women are generally much more verbal than men, even women who don't realize that they are. They generally have a lot more to say. And men, while women are thinking about all kinds of things, men are often unplugged mentally. It's not that we're not thinking about what the person who's talking to us is saying. It's that we're not thinking. And when women want to know, you know, tell me what you're thinking. Nothing. See, he won't open up. He won't share. No, that's not the problem. He really wasn't thinking. I bet he's thinking about this. No, probably not. Probably just not thinking. He was he was shut down. Every now and then I have to wake up my computer, right? When I sit down at the desktop and I haven't been interacting with it, it has to be awake, because in order to save energy, it just goes to sleep. And the fact of the matter is, for a lot of us, we really have to focus, and it takes energy in order to just listen. Got it? Now, if that is true in a marriage relationship where the woman illustrates typically the role of the church and the man is supposed to be illustrating the role of Christ, I would say it is the reversal when it comes to listening to God. God doesn't sleep, God doesn't slumber, and I guarantee you, he doesn't just stop thinking. But the fact of the matter is, God is speaking. God is speaking continually through his creation, through his word, and by his spirit. And we have a tendency for it just to become white noise. Our minds, men and women, tend to go elsewhere. We're not really tuned into what he's saying. And when Jesus talks about being careful how you listen, he's not just saying, you need to catch my words. That's only the first part. He's talking about whether or not we put it into practice. What does your life say about your attitude toward God's word? No one lights a lamp and hides it under a jar, puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. God's word gives light. It's a light to our path. God has put this here for our benefit. God has given us his word so that we will know how things really are and how we're to live. For there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out in the open. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about that? If everything about your life is ultimately going to be known, by whom? Will this be a pay-per-view? I mean, there are some things about my life that I wish more people knew, and there are some things about my life that I would really just as soon nobody knows. Can you identify with that? Would you say that you agree there are some things about your life that you'd just as soon not be on the news? Right? We don't want everything known. But let me tell you, the only one who really has the capacity to judge us rightly already knows everything about us. We're worried about what this person thinks and about what that person thinks, and is this going to be popular? And God says, look at my word and you will see that what mattered was that they did what was evil in the Lord's sight. Or this person did what was pleasing to the Lord.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, If the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand.
God knows everything, including our motives. God knows the thought and the words even better than we do. Far better. So, Jesus says these things. It's all going to be brought out into the open. And he says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. In light of this fact that it's all going to be known, you need to really be careful how you listen. Because whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Oh, what does that mean? Well, for one thing, there are a lot of people who hear the word and do not put it into practice. And what ultimately happens is they don't have it anymore. I'm astounded at how some preachers who made a very clear argument in terms of what God said and what is true run into circumstances that cause them to not put it into practice, and therefore, pretty soon, they're not so sure anymore. But what about what you said about the scripture saying this? Well, yeah, but it's not that another better argument came along. It's that something else pulled them in another direction, and pretty soon, they don't even remember the truth. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Because whoever has, whoever really embraces it, is going to be given more. If you put things into practice, and he's going to talk about that, if you put things into practice, you're going to be given more. If you don't, you're going to be like that soil where the bird takes it away. You're going to be like that soil where there was no root. And so the plant withered. Why? Because the sun came out. It got hot. It became difficult. And as a result, when the time of testing comes, they lose what they had. Now, Jesus is then approached by his mother and brothers. Some of you who have been here a while or been studying the scriptures on your own should know that the background of this story is given for us in Mark chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and then verses 31 through 34. Mark 3 tells us that Jesus' ministry was so demanding that he was missing meals, and his mother got word that her son wasn't eating enough. And so she said, read Mark 3, he's out of his mind. He must be out of his mind. He's working so hard that he's not eating. He must be out of his mind. We better go get him. And so she and his brothers went to where Jesus was teaching, which was a journey. It wasn't next door. They traveled to where he was, and when they got there, their plan was to take custody of Jesus and try and rehabilitate him. Because he was just, you know, too invested in this ministry thing. Skipping meals? That'll upset a Jewish mom. That'll upset an Italian mom. Maybe it upsets all moms. But it upset Jesus' mom. I'm not going to have my boy going hungry. Somebody's got to take charge of him. The man is in his 30s, but it's still her boy. When my dad retired, we moved in with my grandmother and aunt, and I was so shocked to hear the way that my grandmother lovingly but authoritatively would try and tell my dad what to do. He's in his 60s. He'd say, I'm going to go do thus and such. She'd say, Billy, put on a jacket. It looks cold out there. Jesus' mom was that way. And so she and the brothers came to round up Jesus, and Jesus wouldn't even go outside to talk to them. They couldn't get into where he was because it was so packed with people. And Jesus wouldn't even say to the people he was teaching, I'm sorry, folks, I'm going to have to take a break. My mom and brothers have just arrived and I need to go see them. They're asking for me to come outside and talk to them. No, Jesus did what? He said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. He was in every situation perfectly obedient to the Father. And Jesus, when they said, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you, he replied, my mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and what? Put it into practice. Put it into practice. Jesus says, be careful how you listen. Because you can quote scripture, you can sing songs, you may know the words, but if you're not putting it into practice, you're not really listening. You're not really realizing what he says about the fact that his word brings life to those who obey it. If you really believe what God says, you'll put it into practice. If you just memorize the words, but you don't put it into practice, let's see what I could compare that to. What in the world? Someone who hears the word and doesn't put it into practice. Oh, I know. And I hope you do. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus told another story. Matthew chapter 7, two builders, verses 24 through 27. What does he say? He said, if a person hears my word and puts it into practice, he's going to be like a builder who built on a rock. And when the storms came, and the winds blew and the waves crashed against that house, it stood because its foundation was on the rock. But the one who hears my words and doesn't put them into practice, he's like one who built with no foundation. He's built that structure on the sand. And the storms came to that man too. And when the storms came, the house collapsed with a great crash. Why? Because it had no foundation. Who is it that has it crash? The one who hears his words and doesn't put them into practice. That's what Jesus said. So, consider carefully how you listen. Be careful what you do in response to the word of God. You know what happens when a lot of you are in devotions? You're thinking about something else. Well, Pastor Wood, how do you overcome that? I'm 70 years old. I'm still working on it. Okay? It's a human trait. But the best way to overcome it is to look for ways to put it into practice. Look for what would God have me do with what is being said. I used to listen to preachers looking for heresy. And I was a self-righteous jerk who studied the Bible, but largely with an eye toward cultivating my own sense of superiority. Isn't that awful? I mean, God in his word talks about how disgusting that Pharisaical attitude is, but man, I was cultivating my Pharisee spirit. And when I would hear somebody preaching, as a young man, starting in my teens, living in a community where there were some wonderful godly people who proclaimed God's word faithfully, and a host of visiting preachers at the conference center who preached heresy. Okay? I mean, they did not believe the word of God, and they would say things that were just absolutely bogus, like a lot of people in churches and conference centers today, and colleges and seminaries. There are good ones, but there are a lot of false teachers. And we are supposed to be on our guard against false teachers. We're supposed to watch out for false prophets. But the devil's a judo expert. And if you're leaning this way, he'll just push you further that way so that you fall. If you're leaning this way, he'll push you further that way. Well, I turned heresy hunting into a full-time job. I was never fully satisfied with someone's sermon until I figured out where they were off. And when I went to work down in Mississippi right out of college with my biblical and theological studies degree, this is before seminary, I was already full of it. When I went to work down there, they would bring in various preachers to preach there at the academy, and I would sit there and think, well, yeah, but he's off on this point. This is good, but he's off on this point. And God asked me a question. Jim, when did you stop learning? And I began to cry because I realized how horrible my attitude was, that I just assumed a position of superiority every time somebody else got up to preach. It wasn't that I thought I was such a great preacher. It's that I thought I was so doctrinally pure. Whether we're talking eschatology, pneumatology, soteriology, I had it all. Disgusting. Instead of amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me, I was thinking about, what's wrong with that guy? What's wrong with that guy? I found that if I would instead start listening and thinking, what can I learn from this person? What do I need to be doing better? How can I become more like Christ? What is this person saying that needs to evoke a change in me? How can I improve in my walk with God? Jesus said, consider carefully how you listen. He doesn't just say listen. He says, on one level, you're listening. But consider carefully how you listen. Because if you don't put it into practice, not only will it not profit you, but you will be held to a higher level of accountability than somebody who never heard at all. Jesus said that he spoke in parables so that, though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand. That was a mercy, because the more they heard and understood, the more they were going to give an account for when they stood before God. And guess what? Like it or not, you're not going to be able to say, nobody ever told me. You're not going to be able to say, well, I didn't know. Yeah, you do. So consider carefully how you listen. Jesus' family are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. I pray that's going to be you. I pray that that is your lifestyle, that more and more you are eager to hear what God has to say. Consider carefully how you listen. Do you want to hear God's voice? Or are you hoping not to know what you're supposed to do, so you can just keep making it up as you go along? Do you want to know what God says? Do you want to do what God says? God is still speaking through his word, by his Spirit. Pray that you will have ears to hear. put it into practice.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.